Good morning, church. If you all want to go ahead and get settled back into your seats, thank you for moving a little closer. That really does help. I love to be able to see you and engage with you and interact with you. So when I walked in this morning, I have to admit, I thought, what in the world is that? And then I realized that we should thank Spotswood High School's drama team for building us the stable. So here we are with our own nativity scene. You might have to get a little creative, but Spotswood High School is starting the set for their musical this spring. So that's what's going on behind me. Hopefully you won't be too distracted by it. If you need to look at it, just think of it as the stable in Bethlehem. So welcome. Good morning. Like JJ mentioned, my name is Becca Sly. For those of you who I haven't had the privilege of meeting yet, I hope that I get to do that before you leave today. It is a real honor and a joy to be with you every single Sunday. Would you all agree that the Sundays go by really, or the weeks go by really fast? It's like Sunday and then it's Sunday again. So we have been meeting here at Spotswood High School. In case it's your first time with us and you know nothing about us, we are Grace Covenant Church. This is our East Campus, and we have been meeting here at Spotswood High School for the last 8 months. And this is our first Christmas season here, so it's a special time of year for us. And honestly, when we see your faces every Sunday, it fills us with so much joy. Thank you for supporting what God is doing. You know, the reason that we're doing this, church, is to help fulfill the vision and the mission of Grace Covenant, and that is to see thousands of people saved and healed and passionately following Jesus. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And so please know that you are a part of that. You are taking part in something really special that God is doing here at Grace Covenant Church. So welcome and thanks for all that you do. So our big idea for our Advent Christmas series is brighter still. And the hope is that hope would invade our hearts and our lives this Christmas season. That no matter how dark the culture and the world is around us, that no matter how dark and overwhelming it can feel and seem, that we would be reminded this Christmas season that hope has come into the world to save us and rescue us and redeem us. Hope is a person. Hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. Last week, Merle opened up our Brighter Still sermon series as he gave us the thought that as we retell the Christmas story and as we visit it every year and reflect on it and the miraculous events surrounding Jesus' birth, that it really builds our faith and it allows hope to arise in us. And today, we're going to approach the theme of brighter still by digging into hope in the darkness. Hope in the darkness. Light always trumps darkness. Light always trumps darkness. It starts from the time we wake up. We flip on the lights. We turn on our lamps. We pull back our curtains. We enjoy candlelight for ambiance and fragrance. We sit cozily by the fireside, and we listen and we watch the crackling embers. We use flashlights in emergencies and outages, and when we're in small spaces. We watch fireworks displays on the 4th of July. We let our kids run around with sparklers. We string boundless supplies of Christmas lights onto our Christmas trees, colored or white, and we bundle up and we load our families in our cars and drive around to look at Christmas lights. We are attracted to light. Would you agree that it's natural? It's how we were created. We love light. for our time together today, I'd like us to go on a little light journey, if you will, through the best book ever written, through the Bible. We're going to go on a light journey because sometimes I think when we're trying to wrap our minds around a thought or a concept, for us it's this idea of brighter still. It's all about hope. It's all about that Jesus is the light of the world. Sometimes when we're trying to reflect on one specific idea, I think it's helpful to kind of step back and get a bigger picture from the beginning to the end. And so we're going to go back to the very beginning this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was dark and formless and empty. And three verses into the Bible, we have our first introduction to light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, where God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day. I would say that was a pretty productive first day. God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he saw that it was good. Three verses into the Bible, we see light and goodness intersect. From the very beginning, we saw the light, we see the goodness. Light and goodness intersect. And then in the days to follow, days 2 and 3, God created the air. It was like a dome to separate the water from the sky, and we had dry ground called land and vegetation, or that produced land and vegetation, plants and fruit-bearing trees. And then in day 4, we see more light. Because God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth," the stars. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one, the sun, to govern the day, and the smaller one, the moon, to govern the night. Because even in the night, even in the darkness of night, there is still light. He did that so that we would never be in complete darkness. And God saw that it was good, and that was the fourth day. And day 5 and 6, they were busy as well. God filled the waters with creatures and birds and livestock and reptiles, and the earth was filled with living animals. And then God said, "I'm going to make mankind in my image." So he created us, man and woman, and he gave us instructions to rule over all of the animals on the earth and to also enjoy everything that he had created. So this summary of the account of the heavens and the earth being created tells us of the things that God created for our pleasure and our enjoyment. Things like the food, the animals, the land, the water, each other, man and woman, and the light. From the very beginning of time, we were created to live in the light, to bask in it, to live our life in its warmth, to reflect on and see all that it illuminates. Because see, light, it reminds us that God is every bit as good as he says he is, that he is all powerful, that he is creative, and that he provides for us. Darkness to light, our first scene. From the very beginning, we see that light trumps the darkness. In this first scene, we see what I'd like to call immediate light. God spoke it, "Let there be light,"
and it happened. It was instantaneous light. There was an instant manifestation. He said it, it happened. The earth was formless and empty, and at a single command, let there be light, hope was born. In regards to our hope, church, we do believe that nothing is impossible with God. And sometimes when we're in a situation in our lives and we're asking God or we're praying about a situation or we're hoping or believing for a certain outcome, sometimes it does happen instantaneously. We believe that our God can work that way, can bring hope to the darkness, and it can happen just like that. And we can certainly believe for that, and we can certainly praise God for when that happens. But sometimes I think we find ourselves relating maybe more to scene number two in our light journey. So first we see immediate light when God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light. But then what happens? You all know the story. Sin entered the world through the fall of man that we read about with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. People were separated from God. And this chasm of separation grew bigger and bigger over the next several hundred years. Humanity was desperately in need of rescuing. We needed a savior. We had been separated from God because of sin that came into the world. And just like we heard about with our Advent reading today, this for 400 years, 400 years is a long time for God to be silent. See, I think sometimes we can just, when we're reading the story, we can just flip the page and we go from Old Testament to New Testament and we overlook the fact that there were four centuries of silence and darkness and separation and division from God. Now, church, although it is not as powerful as the light, we have to be honest because there is darkness. Darkness does have strength and influence too. During those 400 years, men and women were trapped in darkness. They were trapped in bondage, in separation. They were enslaved to this darkness. And it was like they couldn't break free from its power. The people became blinded to the light because of sin that separates us from God. People were helpless and God was quiet. Like John says here in John 3:19, the light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness rather than light. It was a time when people were living in great darkness, like we see in Matthew 4:16. But light. At the exact right time, the long-awaited Messiah is born, just as the prophets foretold. And one special evening, over 2,000 years ago, after waiting and waiting and waiting with dwindling hope as God wasn't moving or speaking, and suddenly a special star gave light to mark the place where the light of the world would make his appearance. He was born of a virgin girl, and his name was Jesus. And suddenly the light of the world came to rescue us. He appeared in the form of a man. God himself came to earth. God incarnate, God with us. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And hope, this feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, hope was restored when heaven, through the form of a Savior named Jesus, was born on the earth. And redemption began that night in a stable in Bethlehem. Amen? in the pain and separation, I can only imagine that it was the best news that they could ever hear. God says, I am coming to be with you. I'm coming to be with you. And so the Word becomes flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The darkness, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, in the Gospel of John, we learn that the Word, it became flesh. Not only did God create the light that we saw in scene one, but he himself is symbolically light. Jesus has come as the actual, literal light of the world. It goes on in Matthew to say, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, that's us, church, amen, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it. The Son of God became man to enable men and women to become sons and daughters of God. I'll say it again. The Son of God became man to enable us, his sons and his daughters, to become sons and daughters of God. Darkness was once again turned into light because light always trumps the darkness. And so in the first scene, we have instant light. God spoke it, it happened. In this second scene, I'd like us to think about more of a delayed light. Hundreds of years that they were waiting. It wasn't instantaneous. In church, the same goes for us. Sometimes we wait. Sometimes we wait, and we have to continue to hope for that which we are waiting for. And I don't know what it is for you today and what season you're in right now in your life and what you might be waiting for. But at the appointed time, I'm here to remind you and to encourage you that it will happen because God is faithful. If he has told you something, he will bring it to pass. If it's not God's time, church, you can't force it. But if it is God's time, you can't stop it. If it's not his time, you can't force something. But when it is his time, it's unstoppable at the appointed time. Remember, and suddenly the silence was broken after 400 years, and suddenly God came to earth. I don't know about you, but I'm believing for some and suddenly moments in my life. And whether they happen tonight, or tomorrow, or next year, or in 10 years, or if I never see them on this side of heaven, they will be fulfilled. Because see, we don't always see things the exact same way that God sees things. And his ways are always better and always higher, and he always has our best interest at heart. He knows the best for us. Let's continue to believe for those "and suddenly" moments, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God says, I have rescued you. You are not hopeless. I am imparting hope to you today. I want to remind you, says the Lord, that you are not defenseless, that you do have armor, that you do have shelter. And in the middle of your darkest night or your darkest trial or your darkest season, I have rescued you through sending my Son. I am continually rescuing you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I will always come to your rescue. So don't lose hope. You know, his light, his hope, it reminds me of a block of ice. His light, his hope is like the fire to a block of ice. It's like it melts the darkness. It melts the scheme of the enemy. It melts depression. It melts addiction. It melts a hardened heart, a bitter heart, this hard block of ice. When we expose it to the light, his hope can come and pierce the darkness. And so in scene one, darkness to light with the creation of light, immediate light. In scene two, darkness to light with a delayed light, but Jesus was born and God was faithful to his word. And we could stop there, because that is the Christmas story, that he is our hope, that he has come to rescue and redeem us. But sometimes I think we go through the Christmas season and we pull out our nativity book, or we come to our Advent series and we have 4 weeks where we highlight the Christmas story and we reflect on it and we remind ourselves of how beautiful a story it is. But then we think, well, that's a great story, but look around me. I mean, that was a nice story. That's a nice story to celebrate at Christmas, but there's still so much darkness around me, because there's still so much more to the story. See, this baby that was born, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the reason that we're here, the reason that we're celebrating Advent, Jesus, he grew up and he walked on the earth. For approximately 33 years, he walked right here on the earth, and he spoke and he taught with authority and wonder, and the people were attracted to him. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I think people were probably wondering, is this the one we've been waiting for? Hope, love, redemption started spreading like wildfire. And the lost and the sick and the hurting, and there was nobody to whom his light couldn't touch. And the light, it not only extinguished the external darkness of disease and death, but also the internal darkness of sin. I think it was probably, well, I know, I would say it's the brightest time in history. It was full of signs and wonders and miracles. But church, the story of light is not finished with Jesus' life. There's more to the story, because darkness had been pierced. It had been pierced, but not conquered. So I'm not going to stop at the Christmas story when it comes to this light and this hope, because it's the most beautiful story of Jesus coming. But there's more to the story, because light had been pierced, but not completely conquered. These servants of darkness, they took our Savior, the Lord of glory, the light of the world, the one in whom there is no darkness, and they put him on a tree, and they crucified him, and he died. And through the intense pain of the crucifixion, he took on our sin, and he also bore our separation once and for all. And I'm sure you could agree that it was the darkest time, the darkest night you could ever imagine. He was wrapped in darkness. He was enclosed in a tomb. It was unbearably hopeless. But Sunday. But light. On Sunday, life came back into his body. On Sunday, God proved that light does shine in the darkness and that darkness will not overcome it. On Sunday, the angels proclaimed, "Do not be afraid. I know who you are looking for. You're looking for Jesus, and he has risen." 1 Peter 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." See, the evil ones, they thought they had silenced the light and the hope of glory. When they drove nails into his hands and his feet. But Sunday, but death, hell, and the grave were defeated because Jesus rose to glory. And we see that light once again has overcome. That light once again trumps the darkness. So we have this immediate light in our first scene. We have a delayed light in our second scene. I'd like us to think about this in regards to our own hope as a resurrection light, as a miraculous light, as a signs and wonders and miracles kind of light. Because Jesus tells us that when he was on the earth, walking on the earth, that's what he was doing, signs and wonders and miracles, and that people were attracted to this light. And he tells us that we, as sons and daughters of God, that we have the authority to walk in that same power, because the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it lives on the inside of us. And the Bible tells us that signs and wonders and miracles will follow us too. So maybe in this season, you're looking for a miraculous hope, a miraculous light, something, a sign, a wonder, a healing, something that you have been praying and believing for, and you need God to do a miracle. Maybe we need to put some things to death in our life so that something new can arise. Because see, the Bible also tells us that when we decide to follow Jesus, that old things are passed away, that we're going to put some things to death so that new hope can arise, so that God can make some things new in our life. So maybe you can relate to this resurrection light. He longs to resurrect hope into your life today. He longs to resurrect it, to bring it back up. What do you need to be raised from the dead? And then in our last scene, Jesus promises us. He says, "I have to go." He's gone. People were probably thinking, "What, you're leaving? What are we gonna do? The light of the world is going." And he says, "I have to go be with my Father now. But don't worry, I'm leaving you my spirit to live and dwell within you Because see, we are living in this world, and yes, it's dark. Darkness is all around us. But he says, I am leaving you the light of the world, and it's going to be deposited on the inside of you. So although darkness might be all around you, I need you to walk as children of the light. And I need you to keep the hope that I have given you. Because we know the end of the story, and it's a good ending, and we win. See, John 14, 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him. You know him, church, for he dwells within you, and he will be with you. And so, in scene 4, again, we have a friend, the Holy Spirit, who is our ever-present help. He speaks truth when we can't find it. He gives us hope when we're hopeless. He lights up our broken hearts. He lights the way before us. The light is deposited inside of us. The light of Jesus, the hope of glory. Light once again trumps darkness. Times are dark, but light is bright, and light will trump the darkness. We have a living, lasting hope because the Savior has come. He has given us power and authority and is filling us with his Holy Spirit so that we can continue bringing heaven to earth. While we wait, he says, I'm not done working, so you're not going to be done waiting. And we have to wait for the end of the story. But while we're waiting, we have a mission. And our mission is to let our light so shine so that others may see our good works and give the Father in heaven all of the glory. That's what we're called to do while we wait, church. Not to shrink back, not to fall into darkness, not to be separated from God because of sin, but to follow his commands and to say, Jesus, I am going to help spread your light and your hope to an oppressed dark world, because on this side of heaven we have work to do, and it's our job as his hands and his feet and his sons and his daughters to take advantage of what he gives us through the Holy Spirit. Lastly, darkness to light. We can only do this. We can only walk this out. We can only spread hope and be filled and shine if we're in a relationship with God. And so the ultimate scene number 5, is all about eternal life. God's light is real, church. It's available to each and every one of us. It gives life to all things. It has the power to soften the hardest, deepest, most painful sting or wound. It can be a healing balm for loneliness and sickness for our souls. It enlightens the deepest valleys of sorrow. But we have to make a decision to follow him and to say, Jesus, I am turning from my wicked ways. I am turning from the darkness, because healing comes when we move from the darkness and we turn towards the light. But we have to make that decision in our hearts. And we have to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you all of the days of my life. Because see, church, there was a day when that same God who spoke in scene 1, let there be light. And it was the same God who broke 400 years of silence with a baby's cry in a manger. And it was the same God whose power conquered death and rose Jesus from the grave. And the same one who sent us a helper in the form of a Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. You know who that same God is? It's the same God that I turned to in my darkest days. And I said, God, I need you to shine your glorious light on me. And I said, God, I believe in this gospel story of light. God, I believe that it can deliver me from my darkness. So I asked him to do just that, to deliver me, so I could walk in freedom, so that I could walk with the Holy Spirit, so that I could let his light shine. See, we know the end of the story, that we will one day be reunited with our Savior for all of eternity, and he's going to wipe away every tear that you've cried. And death shall be no more. And there will not be mourning or crying or sickness or disease or pain. And all these former things of this world are going to be passed away. Because he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you once and for all. He came as a baby in a manger, and he's coming back once and for all. So we don't just get to celebrate in the Christmas story. There's a much bigger picture of light involved here. From the beginning to the end, we see over and over and over that light overcomes the darkness. And he says, you're not going to need any light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be your light and you will reign with me forever. I don't know which of these scenes that you can relate to today, whether it's an immediate light that you're praying and believing for. Maybe you feel like you're in a long 400-year season. Maybe you need to lay some things to death in your life so you can receive resurrection light. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today, and you need the light of life, the light of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. Or maybe you're in scene number 5 and you need to start with salvation. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing together. I'm going to pray over you, and I would love if you can relate to any of these scenes, and you need hope to be exposed in the darkness of your life today, and you need light to come in and trump some darkness in your life. While we sing this song, I want us to fill this space up here, and I want us to cry out to our hope of glory. Emmanuel, God is with us right now, and he is here to meet you. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that you would be our way maker, our miracle worker, our promise keeper, and our light in the darkness. And God, that you would speak to us in the next few minutes as we lift up our song to you, God. And whether we need immediate light, or we're in a delayed light, or a resurrection light, or we need the Holy Spirit deposited, or God, we want to make the choice to receive you as our Lord and Savior. God, you know us all, and you know where we are, and you know what we need, and you promise that you'll meet us because you are a good, good, and faithful Father. And so, Lord, we lift up our song of praise to you in this place. In Jesus' name. Darkness itself cannot extinguish light. We may be able to blow out a candle, and the batteries may run down in a flashlight, or a storm may knock out our power, leaving our house dark. But this that we're singing about, this is a light that will never fade. This is the true light. This is the light that we follow. This is the light that we build our life upon. This is the light that we ask, God, show me your light, illuminate my path. This light can never, ever, ever be put out or extinguished. And I don't care what you've done. There is nothing that separates you from this light. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you ask him to come in and forgive you of your sins and close that gap of separation, he comes running. So I just want to declare and just speak over you that he is for you, not against you, that he came for you Maybe you're in a season where, God, could this really be for me too? Look what I've done. Look who I am. And God says, let hope arise in your heart. This light is for each and every one of us. He is calling you today. You, my son, and you, my daughter. Light always trumps the darkness. I want to bless you with Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Light does trump darkness, and he is brighter still. God, we love you. You are brighter still. You are the name above all names, the King above all kings. You are the Prince of Peace. You are Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that hope has been stirred in this place. God, let us be your light. We invite you to fill us with your light. Thank you, God, for the hope that we have in you. Thank you, God, that you are brighter still and that your light always trumps darkness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. We love you, church. We have a ministry team who is going to be up here at the front. If there's something going on in your life and you would like someone to pray with you, we would love to do that. It would be such an honor to be able to stand with you and pray with you and agree with you. So if you need prayer for anything, please feel free to come forward. Don't miss this opportunity. Otherwise, we bless you to go in the hope of Jesus, and we will see you back next week for our third Sunday in our Brighter Still series. We love you and have a great week.